Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org. Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
Welcome to the Midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and this weekend, that's February 14th, 15th, and 16th, the Madison Symphony will be performing, as usual, in Overture Hall with John Demain conducting. And this weekend's bill of fare includes Sibelius's Finlandia and John Adams' Dr. Atomic Symphony, plus the suite from Der Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss, and there are not one but two concerto works on the program, the famous Haydn Trumpet Concerto, and one that should be much more famous than it is, as it's a wonderful piece of work, the Aratunian Trumpet Concerto. And those two works will be played by my guest for this hour of the midday, Tina Ting Helseth, who comes to us from Norway. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Your mother was also a trumpeter. Is that how you got into it?
Yeah, well, she plays the trumpet as a hobby. So, yeah, that's basically how it was. I probably heard the trumpet being played before I was born, you know.
It does carry, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I just always wanted to start. I remember I have pictures of myself, photos from when I was little with the trumpet next to me and trying to play it even before I actually started learning it. But I did start with the piano first at five, when I was five. But then I started to play the trumpet a couple of years later, and it was much more fun. So unfortunately, I stopped with the piano. I wish I'd carried on, because it's a very nice thing to know, you know, to really play the piano quite well. That would have been nice, but I'll stick to the trumpet.
I'm guessing that in an unallocated moment, you could go back and pick up the piano pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I can do a little bit of piano, but I... No, trumpet is definitely my voice and my instrument, so I'm happy to play it.
When you say my voice, is that a matter of really almost at times forgetting that the trumpet is there between you and the listener?
Actually, yes. I mean, that has been one of my goals, also from my teachers, I think, from an early stage, to really consider my instrument as just a tool. That is actually me making the music. It should come from me, and just really try to get past all those technical obstacles or things.
That's what they are, aren't they? Because you have to push the air through obstacles.
Yes, and just really think of it as just a tool of getting my music across to the audience and communicate. So I definitely consider this my voice. Definitely, yeah.
Now, young string players have the advantage of doing, you know, 1/8 size violins or quarter size. Is there such a thing? Or there couldn't be such a thing for trumpet, because it would change the pitch, right?
Yeah, well, we do have, like, I don't know if you've seen some of those really, really small. I didn't start on that. I started on a cornet, which is just, you know, a little bit shorter. So basically the tubing that we have is just as long. It just goes several rounds.
Several more rounds.
So it's but they do actually have something called a pocket trumpet, which is really small and then really compact, because all the tubing is there. But I've seen some of those really small kids nowadays starting to play on those things. And it's actually quite an okay sound in them. But yes, I started on the cornet, which is a bit smaller. And then when I was 10, I got my B-flat trumpet for Christmas, actually, from my mom and my parents. And that's actually the same B-flat trumpet I'm playing on today. So 16 years later, I'm still playing it. So it was a nice choice of her, yeah.
The gift that does keep on giving.
Yeah.
What about the lung capacity of a 7-year-old as opposed to a mature player? Does that affect the playing?
No, I mean, we use what we have in the best, you know, in the best way. And it's just, I mean, when I was little, my doctor was really disappointed, because he did a test on me a couple of years back. Because he was sure that I would have amazing lung capacity. And he was really disappointed, because I didn't. I actually had a little bit less than some of his other patients. So it just proves that you use what you have, and it's the same when you're a kid. The most important thing, because a lot of people have asked me this, you know, is it okay to start when they're sure. that young? And yeah, it is, as long as it's done in a natural way, as long as they get to do it natural, not being pushed into trying to, you know, sound more grown up or feel more grown up, or just as long as it's just natural and organic, it's fine. Yeah.
And of course, there are pieces that you come to, you know, lung capacity
yeah.
aside, that you just get more out of when you're older for one reason
or
another.
Of course, for several reasons, if that being musically, or sometimes you need to have experienced a bit of life sometimes to really get a meaning out of some pieces, definitely. Yeah.
Well, let's hear some of the weekend's bill of fare in the form of the Haydn Trumpet Concerto, one of the very most famous
Definitely.
Concertos, a real
yeah.
landmark because it was written for a chromatic instrument, and Haydn was in effect showing off what this new instrument could do.
Yeah, it was the first concerto written for this new keyed trumpet that Anton Weidinger had made or played on this. So Haydn and the Hummel Trumpet Concerto that some also might have heard, that's kind of the two concertos we have from the classical period.
They're only about 8 years apart, I think.
Yeah, they are. And basically this is showing off what the new trumpet could do, play chromatics, which was at that time something they have never heard before. So for them, something completely new. Yeah.
So here's the third movement, which I gather is something of a tour de force yeah. of the Haydn Trumpet Concerto with Tina Ting-Helset as the soloist. Thank you. finale of the Trumpet Concerto in E-flat by Haydn, one of the most famous of all trumpet concertos, a real landmark, as I mentioned earlier. And the performance was by my guest today, Tina Ting-Helset, with the Norwegian Chamber Orchestra in that performance. So you have a video of that out, but you did that. Was it the video done at the same time as this recording?
Yes, we just this is actually now starting to get many years ago, 2007, I recorded this. I just think they made a video kind of at the same time, like after the recording was finished. Okay, we put up some cameras and we played through a couple of times, and then they made a video out of this and also with some footage from the recording, kind of behind the scenes. Yeah.
Do they tend to do those videos? And well, the way they're edited, you can't tell if it's all one take or if it's, you know, little pieces put together.
Yeah, well, it depends. I've done differently. A couple of videos I've done has just been like, okay, today is the music video day. You come into a studio and they shoot and, you know, look there, do this, do, okay. More like how I assume they would do a pop music video.
Sure.
But then other times they've just recorded from the recording and then just made a video out of it afterwards with of course, the music track from the CD, but then put on, you know, the footage from the recording.
Now it seems to me as a trumpeter that you have, you're lacking one option that other players of any other instrument I can think of would have, and that is facial expression, because you've got the trumpet, by definition, in front of your face the whole time you're playing.
It is, yeah. But I mean, still, it's just in front of kind of my lips and mouth, though. It's still a lot in, you know, the rest.
So you have a lot to work with.
Yeah, but I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think beforehand how I should, you know, look, like facial expression wise. I mean, that comes spontaneously.
Well, that's a good thing to know, because
yeah.
Some performers, it's more a matter of showbiz, I imagine, and you know.
Yeah, it might be. Well, that's I haven't done that yet. So yeah, I'm just me. So.
Well, we're going to hear a bit from your, do you call this a Christmas CD or do you call it a seasonal CD? What is the official name of it? Is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the official name is in Norwegian, Mitt Hjerte Alltid Vanker, which is a very famous Norwegian or Scandinavian Christmas hymn, one of my favorite ever. But it is a Christmas album. In English, it's called My Heart is Ever Present. It's Christmas music in there, but it's also more like Baroque music, more like, yeah, maybe more a seasonal thing, a winter CD. Anyway, it's not like, it's not Silent Night and Joy to the World.
Right.
You know,
right.
So but still there are some really Christmassy stuff in there, definitely.
Well, one piece that's long been associated with Christmas, but it would apply to virtually the last, 3 months here in Wisconsin in particular, yeah, is a piece by Gustav Holst, and it is inspired by or based on a poem by Christina Rossetti.
Yes.
In the bleak midwinter.
Midwinter, yeah.
Thank you.
I guess this is what you'd call a concept album. I mean, there's a bunch of pieces you wouldn't ordinarily associate with each other, most of them, and then kind of grouped together. And so who came up with the concept?
Well, it was my Norwegian record label at the time. This was my second disc, and we just wondered what could be a good thing to follow up the Concerto album, my first one with Haydn and Homeland kind of the standards. What could be a nice thing? And then I love Christmas.
That's when you got the trumpet. After.
Yeah, and also Christmas loves trumpet. You know, like it's
<That's true. laughs>
it's kind of a lot of people associate Christmas with trumpet, and so. And then I thought, why not? Let's do a Christmas album. That was my second album.
Well, she brought her trumpet. We're going to hear the sound of that. And then actually two Norwegian pieces in a row, one right here from our studio and then one from that same CD. All of that and the quiz question in about 6 or 7 minutes after this, right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Through music, we can get a better view of the world, its many cultures and traditions. I'm Jonathan Overby with an invitation for you to travel to higher ground for a glimpse of places around the globe, featuring styles of music with African roots and more, Saturday evening at 7, right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a place for great stories, news from around the state, inspiring music, and smart entertainment. There's always something new to discover on WPR, and support from members helps make it all possible. Thank you.
Support also comes from the Madison Symphony Orchestra, featuring young Norwegian trumpeter Tine Ting Helseth, making her MSO debut with the Haydn and Arvatunian Concerti, February 14th, 15th, and 16th in Overture Hall. More at madisonsymphony.org.
Back with Tine Ting Helseth, who is performing this weekend with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. She'll be performing the famous Haydn Trumpet Concerto and the Arvatunian Trumpet Concerto, which is also a wonderful work for the instrument. Those performances tomorrow night and Saturday night and then Sunday afternoon at the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. And we haven't heard anything Norwegian yet, but I'm sure there's plenty to draw from.
Yeah, well, I think what we're going to hear now is also from the Christmas album again. It's more like a folk song, but about Jesus. So about the little Jesus coming to the world, and it's called in Norwegian. It's called Et lite barn så lystelig. So a tiny child full of joy. It's called. Yeah.
I was getting one of the benefits of being right here in the studio with my guest today, a little bit of special stereo effect with live and not live performing there. She was warming up the trumpet that she brought with her. So I gather you don't own a lot of trumpets from what you're telling me, Tina?
Well, I have several.
Oh, you do?
Trumpets, I do, yeah. It's not as expensive as violins, not at all.
Yeah.
I play different trumpets for different repertoire. So, for instance, in the concert with the orchestra now, I play a B-flat trumpet when I do our Etonian, and then Haydn I play on an E-flat trumpet, and right now in my hands I have my C trumpet. So I have three with me now on this tour, and then I have piccolo trumpets and cornets and flugelhorn and yeah, all kinds of stuff. So I don't know, 10 trumpets maybe back home? Yeah.
10? Huh?
Yeah.
So that sounds like a good round number.
Yeah.
Well, we promise a second Norwegian piece here, and
yes.
And as long as you brought your C trumpet.
Yes, I have it here. I was thinking of playing a cow call. In Norwegian, it's called Så lokka meg over den myra. And it's a traditional cow call that Edvard Grieg has collected. So we say it's by Grieg, but it's kind of almost by him. But he was adapted by him. So yeah, a cow call.
Cow Call by Grieg.
Yeah.
So this was one of his lyric pieces originally for piano?
No, it's the most famous. He has in several editions, but the famous one is for orchestra, string orchestra, called Cow Call.
Well, it was very lovely. I would have made a wonderful video, too.
Yes.
Your playing of it just now.
Yeah, well, that's I did a video of it actually just playing it live once. Yeah, like this.
My guest, Tina Ting-Helset. A great trumpeter performing not one but two concertos on the program this weekend with the Madison Symphony. Is it unusual to play two concertos in a concert?
Well, I do. It's different, actually. I mean, most of the trumpet concertos are quite short in duration. So if they're only around 15 minutes, then you have time to play two. So I'm happy to do it when the orchestra asks. And it's also nice to show off two very different styles or from two, you know, different eras of the music history. And also, yeah, you show the trumpet in a different light from the two concertos. So it's nice, yeah.
You've said that one of the most difficult things for a trumpeter to do is not all these, you know, trills and leaps and runs and things like
yeah.
that, but just to convey a simple song.
Definitely. And yeah, a simple tune, that's the hardest thing there is, to make that come across to the audience as something coming from me, something with meaning, just making it, it's the hardest thing. It's also the most rewarding thing, just to play this, yeah, simple melody and make it mean something.
This CD that you have that has a number of pieces by various composers and Storyteller is the name of it. Are those mostly originally for voice and...
It's only songs. That's kind
they're
of
all
a,
songs.
Yeah, they're all songs. All music originally for the voice. It was an idea when I signed with EMI Classics some years back that my first album with them was going to be a collection of songs because I was doing a lot of songs transcriptions at the time. And they asked me, like, so what is it with songs? And I said, well, I'm trying to tell a story even though I don't have the words, because that's what you lose because I play. So I can't, there are no words coming out of my instrument, unfortunately. And then this title Storyteller came about. It was a hard decision trying to find only the songs that we wanted to have on the album because there are so many, so much amazing music out there. When I can go outside of trumpet literature borders and kind of borrow from others, there is so much amazing repertoire that is just amazing to be able to be allowed to perform, basically. So I was really happy about that. Yeah.
And you don't have, of course, the advantage of all the verses are going to sound sort of the same without the words.
They can do, but then that really makes my job even more difficult.
Yes.
In some way, to make it interesting for people to listen to when I don't have the words, when I can't use the words, yeah.
So this piece by, for example, we're going to hear, I think, several from Storyteller that will illustrate what you've been saying, starting with this one by Leo Delibes.
Yeah.
And what's the story? Do you want to tell us what the story is, or let the trumpet tell it and let us guess?
Well,
or what?
I don't know. The trumpet's probably telling it, but it's just about it's about girls who, let's just say, they like boys.
Okay, sounds like the subject of many a song. This one's by Leo Delibes.
Thank you.
Well, you can just imagine what those girls were singing about there. And that song by Leo Delib is rendered by trumpeter Tina Ting-Helset. And this was the Royal Liverpool.
Yes, Philharmonic Royal Liverpool Philharmonic.
Yeah. On that CD called Storyteller. We're going to actually hear another one or two from that same collection, I believe, yes, because I wanted to hear one of these pieces by Joseph Canteloube, who had a style all his own.
Yes.
There's something just unique about those songs of the
Auvergne. Absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. He has several books of like songs from the Auvergne district in France. And what I think is great, though, is that he has done the orchestration himself and also then the piano version. It's both by him, but it's a bit different. Of course, it's the same, but it's different at the same time. He's made new voices and different orchestration for the orchestra. It just comes to life. It's just amazing. So this one we're going to hear now, Maleros con Ofeno. It's also a fun one, just like the Canteloube, the Delib song that we just heard. And basically, it's about Lucky is the man who has a wife. Lucky is the man who has a wife. Lucky is the man who has a wife. Tra la la la. And then Lucky Unlucky is the man who Unlucky is the woman who. Oh, how does this go again? Okay, let's play the song and I'll tell you what the lyrics is, because I want to have this right, because it's very funny, you see. So I just really have to do my translation from French now in the right way. I'll tell it after the song.
All right, here we
go. So you get it the right way.
Canteloube.
Okay.
Okay, do you remember now?
Yeah, I do actually.
What's going on there?
So it's unhappy is the man who doesn't have a wife. Unhappy is the man who doesn't have a wife. Tra la 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 la. And then it's happy is the woman who has a man. Happy is the woman who has a man. But even happier is the woman who doesn't have a man. Tra la 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 la. That's kind of the that's
I'm
the
glad
song.
We got that straight for the record. Philosophy notwithstanding. I will repeat our 12:30 quiz question. We'll be back with Tina Ting-Helset and more of her music all after this here on WPR. Another one of those composers we think of, at least I tend to think of as heavily piano-oriented, is Rachmaninoff, but he wrote songs.
A lot of great songs, yeah. But I mean, of course, everyone knows the piano concertos, and he has, but they are amazing. So, yeah. No, but he wrote a lot of great songs, and this next one is also from my Storyteller album. It's the opening track, and it's, it's called, well, my Russian is really bad, so I'll do the English title, How Fair This Spot.
lovely is this spot by Rachmaninoff, a song, in this case, for the trumpet, and one of a fair number of songs represented on this CD called Storyteller. And by the way, I think I can tip my hand this much and say that during our upcoming pledge drive, that is going to be one of the premiums that we'll be offering you is this CD, provided things work out, which I hope they do, as there's a lot of wonderful stuff to be heard there. Let's see, I believe there was more than one Norwegian composer by the name of Bull.
There was, yeah.
Ole Bull, maybe the most famous still.
And you just told me that he used to live here or be here in Madison.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
I didn't know this. New knowledge to me. I'll bring it back to Norway to all the Ole Bull fans. Yeah.
Yes, it's an interesting story, which unfortunately we don't have time to get into. But essentially, he was there was a matchmaking done by the mother of the girl involved, and they settled in Madison for a time.
Oh, that's great.
And
no, there are several Bulls. This is next one. He just died a couple of years ago. Edvard Hagerup Bull. He lived most of his life in Paris. And I remember the first time I played this piece that we're now going to hear, a very short Perpetuum Mobile, kind of an homage for Johann Strauss. The first time I played it on radio, I think I was 18 or something, and his wife called me, actually, and they were so happy that I played this piece, and that was a huge honor to get this phone call. So I remember all the way from Paris I got a phone call.
That's exciting.
It was really exciting. So it's a very short, fun little piece called Perpetuum Mobile.
Take a little breather after that? Is it as difficult as it sounds?
Well, I like the energy of the piece, but it's quite stressful because I use this, if you heard the difference in the sound, I use this straight mute, so this thing I put into the bell of the trumpet, and it's very short amount of time that I take it out and in again. So that's actually the most stressful thing about the whole piece. It's actually making sure my hands and everything else, you know,
it's coordinated.
Yeah, definitely. But it's great fun. It's from, the pianist I play with here from this album. This is my latest album on EMI, or now they're called Warner Classics. They just, Warner bought EMI. So they're called Warner Classics. Catherine Stott, which I play with, and we've been on tour a lot. Amazing woman, amazing pianist. So it was just playing with her is always fun, a lot of energy. So that's what this piece needs.
Well, let's see if we have time for a couple more from that same CD then. The final movement of another Norwegian composer's work. This is a three-movement divertimento.
Yes, for solo trumpet by a composer called Øystein Sommerfelt. And this is a fast, fun, gymnastic little thing in 1.5 minutes. So the third movement from this divertimento. ¶¶
Well, that'd be good to have on your alarm clock. It'd be a good wake-up call,
wouldn't it? Yeah, it's fun.
Well, let's see if we can... I think we have one more here. And actually, the final piece from the CD is a composer you wouldn't expect because he wrote violin music, Fritz Kreisler.
Yeah, and this is a violin piece. It's another arrangement, again, that we did for the CD. It's a little march. I mean, he has a lot of great pieces that I'm sure people have heard, but I didn't try to pick some less famous but still amazingly fun small little pieces by him. So there are two pieces by him on the CD, and this is the last one, and it's called Toy Soldiers March.
Soldiers March by Fritz Kreisler, and the pianist there is one I think you kind of started working with almost spontaneously. You had not...
We met in a festival, yeah, in 2010 in Norway, and we were going to play one of the pieces from the album Legend by Enescu, and basically in the rehearsal there was a radio journalist live on Norwegian radio this is the first time we've met, actually. Oh, great. So can you play something? So actually the very first time we ever played together was live on Norwegian radio, opening 1 minute of this piece, and it was just this immediate connection between the two of us. So we decided that we have to do this more often, and she's amazing. I mean, I feel so honored to be working with her. I know she's working with a lot of great musicians like Yo-Yo Ma all the time, and so for me it's an honor to work with her, definitely.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure having you with me today, and
it's
with
been
our
nice to be here. Thank you for having me
with our crowd. And you can hear more of Tina Tinghelset this weekend with the Madison Symphony, February 14th, 15th, and 16th. Two concertos, Haydn and Arutunian.